Well, it is certainly a privilege to be with you guys here this morning. I've spent a number of years, it's been the joy of my joy to get to meet a number of people that make up Maranatha E-Free Church. The body of Christ is definitely people, not necessarily a building, but it's a privilege to finally be here at Maranatha E-Free Church after a number of years of hearing so much about this congregation and getting to meet a plenty of you in different capacities. But yeah, it's a joy to be here, and it's a privilege to also be extended this opportunity. Thank you, Pastor Dave, and for the rest of you as a church body, it's a very special thing to be welcomed into another congregation and have the privilege to share in many different ways. We're often the first group that brings rap into the service, at least where we've been, so thanks, Brian. And we try our best to give you guys, if you've never been to camp before, or if you have but it's been a number of years, a little taste of what we do in the summer. Not everything, but a little bit. And by the time I get up here, I often find that there's not much more that I can say, because it's been said already. Even Mary Jo, thank you for emphasizing that. At camp, the gospel is our focus. The gospel is why we exist. Telling children and youth about Jesus Christ is, or should be at least, the only reason why Valley View has purpose. And but through that, there's plenty of other things we do. When we are properly following Jesus Christ and serving Him only, we will have a safe place for children to come and have fun. We will have a safe place for them to make friendships and participate in recreation and activity. And so it's just such a joy to be a part of that, to see many people that have been affected by it and that have partnered with us in doing that. And so that's a little bit about why we serve at camp and why I believe so much in the ministry that God is doing there. I don't have a lot of time this morning, but I do want to mention a few quick things. First of all, there's a lot of us here, but if you can imagine, there's actually more that we left at home. Some of you might know Henry and Loretta Enns, our fearless director couple, and they graciously agreed, as the good leaders they are, to stay back to be on call for the Tubing Hill this weekend, as well as take care of some other details around home. And so Henry made sure that I would not forget, and I also wrote it down that they send their greetings. And so they wish they could be here with you guys this morning as well, but they're taking care of some business at home. And so we generally go as a team, but sometimes due to different responsibilities, one of us has to stay back and take care of the nitty-gritty. And so many of you are probably aware that at Valley View Bible Camp, we also operate what is known as Valley View Tubing Hill, or for some of you more mature folks out here that have maybe gone back a few decades, it used to be called Rogers Hill. And so it's just a tubing hill that you use saucers and tubes to go down a hill, and then we have a tow rope that brings you back up. The amazing thing about that is it's not necessarily a ministry that we, you know, share the gospel every day with those that come, but we have about 8,000 to 9,000 sliders that come every year, and it's a great way for us to raise a bit of funds to continue the operation of Valley View Bible Camp. It's a great way to meet people, and to and sometimes through the ministry of the Tubing Hill, we see people come to camp for the first time. We see people who realize that in their own backyard, there's a camp ministry that's going on that their children can participate in. They might be able to get involved in. We also say, many of you are aware, and you saw the picture up on the screen, that we're in the process of doing a building project, the half that looks a little less finished on the back end. Many people will come to the Tubing Hill and be impacted by what we do there, specifically what Jesus Christ is doing there, and want to get involved in that project. And so we've often said that a lot of the material and the labor that has come for that building of that chalet slash chapel has come through the Tubing Hill as well. And so it's a big responsibility, and we're thankful to have that. So that's what Henry and Loretta are up to this weekend. I also wanted, like I mentioned, I've had the privilege of meeting many of you in a different capacity, usually at summer, when I'm sweating buckets and trying to keep kids in order, and many of you have partnered with us in that way in serving in some way, shape, or form. As Mary Jo mentioned again, as nurses or cabin leaders or support workers in other capacities, many of you have come and joined us for some of our women's or men's retreats or times away for rest and studying of God's word. And so we don't feel like strangers here, and we certainly are open to getting to know the rest of you a lot better. But I wanted to express my thanks to you as a church as well for your support. We know that Many people across the province, across the world, are praying for camp ministry specifically, and more specifically for Valley View Bible Camp. And so we thank you guys as a church as well for supporting us in prayer and with hands and feet on the ground in part of that life-changing ministry at camp. I did want to maybe acknowledge those of you in the congregation that have served this past year in some way, shape, or form, or participated. I know it's always a bit of a mixed emotion thing when we get people to stand or whatever, but there's quite a few of you that have served in some capacity or were on the grounds this past year. So if that was the case, I just want to invite you guys to stand here. If you served at Valley View or participated maybe in one of the men's or ladies' events this year, would you just mind standing quickly just so we can get a bit of a picture of how you guys are involved in the summer ministry as well? Excellent. Thank you so much. You guys can have a seat. See, Steve is ushering, but he also is there too. Some of you might not know that, but he has to stand in the back, but he was also there too. I hope that gives a picture as well as the varying different, maybe if I could say ages or involvement in different generations that we have at the camp, and it's such a privilege to have that, and it makes a huge difference when we can see mentoring that goes on in the church also continue on in the summer camp setting. And so just want to extend again my thanks to those of you that have supported in that way and those of you that have been praying for those from your congregation that have been serving in that capacity. So thank you so much. I wanted to introduce myself a little bit because some of you don't know who I am. So my name is Michael Bergen. I am the program coordinator at Valley View Bible Camp. I have been so now for 5 years this January. So we feel like we've been there now for long enough that it feels like it's been a while, and I still remember the day we came up to the camp and moved into the trailer. My brother and sister-in-law were out. We didn't have any kids at the time, and it seems like not that long ago. So we have seen lots of things take place in that amount of time, and God has stretched us as a couple, as a family, but we are so thankful to be a part of the team at Valley View Bible Camp. In the front row here is my wife, Rebecca, and our two children, Keziah and Kanan. They're waving there, and we have another one on the way in February, and so we're thankful for that as well. So we're looking forward to expanding our team naturally. And so that's us. Rebecca actually started at camp first. She had the original passion and heart for camp. Rebecca grew up in a family that ministered. They actually came from Ireland as missionaries to Canada, and were heavily involved in an organization that did children's camping ministries and Sunday school ministries and things like that. And so we met at Bible school at Miller College of the Bible, if any of you know where that is, in beautiful small Pembrey, Saskatchewan. And there's a few rules that our parents, or that I had for myself and that Rebecca's parents had for her. Her dad said that she wasn't allowed to marry a Mennonite boy from Manitoba. And I vowed I would never marry a missionary kid, a pastor's kid, or someone from another country. And we broke all five of those rules. And I couldn't be happier. And so I'm just very thankful for God brings people in our lives, some for longer periods of time than others. It's such a privilege to be married to Rebecca and to have we feel the ministry to camp, specifically serving Jesus in that capacity, is something that is very much a part of our lives right now. And we don't see in the foreseeable future any plan of changing that unless God wills it very clearly to us. I know we're already at 12 o'clock, and so I do want to respect our time here, but I want to share just a couple quick thoughts about the gospel with you this morning. For myself personally, this year, and some of you might have been at the Harvest Celebration, which is a gathering we do in September, just to speak about the summer ministry specifically and give testimony. It's at camp, and so I shared a little bit there about how myself personally, I had to really wrestle with the reality that God, in his love for us and in his in the gospel, the good news, sending his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, the gospel message has the power to save not just myself at my age, but also young children. And that seems a little bit contrary to why would I be in camp ministry if I didn't believe that? Well, I believe that in my head, in my heart, even in a sense. But you know how sometimes we struggle with the reality of what we know we need to believe. And there's just times where I've saw children come year in and year out and be presented with the gospel, and I trust that God in his power and in his holiness can save people. But I really had to wrestle with that reality How does God do that in the life of a young person, a little person who comes? We have children as young as 5 coming to camp. And how does he do that in the life of a young person? So part of our testimony this year is our son Canaan came to faith in Jesus Christ during the summer, not as a result of us, obviously, it's all God, but specifically through the ministry of Uncle Harold, one of our children's speakers. When Uncle Harold comes and faithfully presents the gospel, teaches God's word, and my son was impacted by that and came to faith in Jesus Christ. And I was reminded that there is no limits. There is no one that is too young, too old, too far to be permanently impacted by the love of Jesus Christ. And so that spread into a number of other things, but it reminded me that if we are not focused on the gospel primarily at camp, then we have missed the mark. And so that's why our mission statement at Valley View is to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to those having least opportunity to hear, especially children and youth, and to disciple believers for service in Christ Church. So we have a very simple mandate, a simple gospel mission, to present the gospel of Jesus Christ and to teach his word. And so something that we used to teach our team, all of us as a team in May, when we had our mission team training, was 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul talks quite clearly about the gospel. So I'm going to read this and then just share a couple other quick thoughts, and then I'll be done and I'll invite Jared and Kristen to come up and share quickly before we close this morning. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says this, and it's probably a familiar passage to many of you. It says, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, as of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 others at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me," that's Paul, "for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is within me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed." And that passage of Scripture is important to me over the last year, because it presents of what is first importance, Paul says. If we don't remember what the gospel is personally, dare I say, we don't, as Loretta mentioned, we taught this gospel session together. If we don't know what we believe, we can't teach it to others. And so we need to remember as what's first important. Some of us find ourselves in places where we know the gospel, and so we don't think it needs to be revisited so often. And at 24/7, our men's discipleship weekend, a guy by the name of Steve Jans, who will be speaking again this year, reminds us that if we're not preaching the gospel to ourselves daily, we've missed the mark. We need to remember why we have been saved and why we needed to be saved in the first place. What separated us from God? Our sin. Do we have any chance of right relationship with him again? No, not apart from Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again and is coming again soon. And so Paul lays this out to believers. He says, "I want to remind you, brothers." He wants to remind brothers in Christ of what is first importance. And so I come to you this morning with a very simple message, something that's impacted me over the last year, that we need to remember what is first importance in our lives. We need to remember that the gospel of Jesus Christ comes as a first importance. That his word, which Paul references multiple times here as he presents the gospel, he says Christ was buried and on the third day, in accordance with the scriptures, was raised. He references the scriptures as he presents the gospel. We need to be impacted daily by the truth of the gospel and reminded that if we lose that first importance, we're very close to a path of unrighteousness. I'm reading right now, personally, I'm going through the Old Testament, specifically the Torah, or the first 5 books of the Bible, and I'm almost all the way through the book of Numbers, and I don't often get moved to tears when I'm reading Scripture, and I pray, God, just make me more sensitive to what you have to say in your word, and just allow me to really realize often the depths of our depravity and our need for you. And I was reading through in Numbers Korah's rebellion, and there's this group of people that lost sight of their devotion to God, their submission to Him, and came up in rebellion against Moses and Aaron, and got their priorities all mixed up. And Moses says to them, "Is it not enough for you?" I'm paraphrasing, but to just serve God, you have this place of honor and serving and looking after his temple or his tabernacle. Is it not enough for you for that? And that clan is punished for their lack of trust in God, because they lost, in my opinion, if I could take this creative liberty, they lost what was of first importance. They lost that sight of what they were created to do, and that is to worship God. And they took glory for themselves, or they desired to do that. A little while later, we see another example of that in when much of Israel is taking for themselves wives from another country, and they start to worship Baal, and they lost again what was of first importance. Instead of remembering that they were to worship God and serve Him only, the first commandment, they decided to take for themselves something that they were not commanded to do, and lost sight of what's first importance, which is the gospel. And so, I hope that that just brief testimony of what I've been learning personally to keep God of first importance in His Word and the gospel message, that is something we desire to do at Valley View, and we want to be held accountable to that. That is what we desire to do as a full mission team, and it's what we desire to share as we go around. And thank you as a church. And we're here to join in worship with you this morning, and to report on what God is doing, and to give testimony, and to meet you guys, and to share in God's goodness together. And so we thank you guys again for that opportunity. It was great to get to know you a little bit, and I look forward. We'll be at the back afterwards, and are more than welcome to chat a little bit. If you have any questions specifically about what we do at camp, don't be afraid to ask. But thank you so much for this opportunity, and I'll invite the Kellers up to share a little bit about how they came to camp.
All right. Actually, what I was going to kind of just talk briefly on was a lot of what Michael said, and I was just kind of going to talk about kind of how my summer went. I'll introduce myself. I'm Jared Keller. I'm the facility manager at Valley View. This is my wife, Kristen, and we have four kids, Jaden, Benea, Mateo, and Ariella, who's right here. And we've only been at the camp since March of last year, and so this past summer was kind of the first go at the whole camp experience, as I haven't been to camp in probably over 20 years, so it was a whole new experience, and it's something that really stretched me and pushed me. And I was going to talk a bit about kind of the gospel too, and I've... Throughout my years, like, I've been a Christian since I was like 5 years old, and grew up in a great family, and I've known the importance of the gospel and kind of what it meant for my life, that I was saved by from with what Jesus did. And but through this summer, it kind of became very real to me, and I gained a whole new appreciation for that gift. And it was just through week after week, seeing different kids come, and they were just being impacted and changed by it through all the speakers and through all the different things that happened through the camp. It was just a really cool thing to see. And some of these kids, they came from like rougher homes, and you know, and some of them didn't really want to be there, it seemed, and they fought it. And And by the end, at the chapel times, they were staying there and they were involved, and some giving their lives to Christ. And it was just such a cool thing to see how God worked in their lives. I don't know if it was just in my past not having been so directly involved, kind of with the whole camp experience, that I never gained that intense appreciation for the gospel, or if I, yeah, just this summer, I was being, just being in it and involved through the summer. It was just a real eye opener for me. And yeah, as Michael said, it was so cool to see how even the youngest of kids can be impacted by the gospel, how they can understand it. Like it can speak to you all, to all ages and all generations. And it was just very, very neat to see. I won't take too long here, but it was a very stretching experience for myself. I'm an introvert. I prefer to be at home and just not in crowds, and definitely not up on stage. It's not usually my comfort zone. So yeah, somehow singing is all right for me. But and so this summer, just being able to lead some devotionals and times with campers, and it has stretched me, and I've got a long way to go in that area to be more comfortable in that way. But the camp experience has really broadened my horizon and pushed me into areas that I would never have thought I've gone. So it's been really good. And kind of one last thing, I've been doing kind of going through credentialing thing to become a full-time missionary. And there was one question in this thing that came up, and it was, yeah, when was the last time you were deeply moved by the gospel? And honestly, up to the summer, I don't know if there was a time if I was. And of course, always knowing the importance of it, but this summer I can say that it has moved me, and it has impacted me in a really special way. So, I was reading in Proverbs 22:6. It says, to train your children off the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it. And I see the importance of that, and how the camp does that at such a young age, to put that seed into their lives, to introduce Jesus to them, and just to start that journey for them, I think is a really cool thing. And hopefully they take that home and really grow. It's been a good summer, and I thank you for your prayers and for all you who have been involved too, and encourage everyone to come be involved. And we are always looking for people to work and to cabin lead and to just be there and help the kids. So, yeah. Spread that good news. So, I don't know. We had one more song. I don't know if you want us to do it or if you just want to close. It's up to you. Computer's frozen. So maybe we'll let Dave just wrap this morning up for you. And I thank you for listening.